Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, a family finds a new home only to discover that someone else is still living there. Did the movie The Conjuring cause a paranormal occurrence to happen in someone's home? Who continues to wake a little girl up night after night? And a cold feeling refuses to leave a house after multiple deaths occurred in the home. Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, of course, you can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file to us. Just send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like this show, you want to keep us on the air and say, hey, I want to be a part of this thing. We are mainly a listener-supported show, so you can do that. You need to do it through Patreon. The link is at ghostpodcast.com, or you can go right through ghostpodcast.com and sign up there. Get access to all the bonus episodes. Just click Become an EPP, Extra Podcast Person. Get all the bonus episodes, the brand new ones every week, advanced episodes, and other exclusive content as well. So check that out and help keep us this pirate ship afloat. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you today. And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. I have a question for you.
Yeah?
So, well, let me set this up first.
Okay.
Because I'm like, is it just me? And at dinner the other night, apparently it was. So I went out for dinner with my friend Trish. It was her birthday. Mm-hmm. Trish the Dish. And there was like 12 of us at dinner. So there may or may not have been drinks involved.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, maybe there was, but so we're like just having a funny conversation, and for some reason, and I don't know why, the whole conversation turned to funerals, which was weird since it was Trisha's birthday. And I was like, and we were just describing, like, if you want a lot of people at your funeral, my idea was to have a kegger, and if you just want a few, you know, put them in your will.
Sure.
So we're talking about just weird things like that. And somebody says, well, I can't die tonight because I don't want to get stuck in this outfit. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And she's like, ghost clothes. I go, what do you mean by ghost clothes? If you die, you have to wear what you're wearing right now for eternity. And everybody at the table, I look at the other end of the table. I'm like, ghost clothes? And everybody, all 12, they all go, oh, yeah. And I'm like, I never heard of that before. So I'm like, what if you died in the bathtub?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to spend all eternity naked? And they're like, I guess so. I'm like, I can't die. I can't. I would, like, I am not the right person to be a naked ghost. The hauntings would be weird. Like, have you ever heard of that? Like, if you die today, this is what you're going to wear for eternity.
I know there's a lot of stories of Whitney Houston naked haunting the Beverly Hills Hotel.
But that seems to maybe fit her personality better than mine.
Making that one up. But, okay. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting thing, and it's actually something I've always wondered about, is just that. Why do some ghosts wear this and some ghosts wear that? You would almost think if we're coming back as a ghost that clothing really wouldn't be a part of the deal, that they would all be naked because that's...
But you don't see a lot of naked
you
ghosts.
You don't.
But they're in comfy clothes frequently.
They are. So I don't know if that's part of it. If it's, and the thing is, we've heard stories too of people that have come back in looking much younger than they were when they died, more in their prime, in a different outfit. We do hear them of quite frequently wearing clothes that they liked, that they were oftentimes seen
that
in.
That makes sense to me. Because then we're talking about, okay, what if you died in heels? Are you stuck in heels for all eternity? But then the more we thought about that one, it wouldn't really matter because it's not like weight and gravity. If you're a ghost, I don't think the shoes would hurt your feet because you have no weight.
Going to be the biggest disappointment for stripper ghosts when someday it's like, oh shit, really? I'm wearing these and it still hurts? Yeah, I could see that.
Or the poor stripper ghost who dies in her robe. And so for all eternity, she just wanted the pole in her stripper outfit. And then she has to go around for eternity in an ugly robe. So I'm like, so what you're really saying is that you have to wear like really awesome clothes every day of your life?
You got to really, and that's the reason to dress to impress. It's not to impress other people. It's in case you die. That's the whole.
But I've never heard that. And so I don't know if everybody's punking me at the table, but they're all like, oh yeah, ghost clothes.
I don't know. I really have no answer to that. I suppose there is some level of sense, but I wouldn't hold it to be like, yep, that's exactly how it is by any means. But you know, folks have, when you kind of get on this topic, obviously there's no truly right or wrong answers, but people hold their strong beliefs on whatever it may or may not be. So if that's what they kind of think, that's what they kind of think.
Well, all I know is I do not want to die in the bathtub, because if I have to spend eternity naked, I would be so unhappy.
You get like a
It sounds kind of comfy, I know, but I am too modest for that.
You get a consolation towel if you die in the bathtub, but that's it.
I would spend all of eternity feeling too fat. You're like, that would be my problem.
All I got is this towel.
Everybody's looking at me because I'm naked, and it's like, wait, I'm a ghost. They really didn't. Okay. They're not judging me. It's because I'm a ghost.
From here on out, you're going to start showering like in clothes or in a bathing suit, just in case. Just in case. Makes sense.
It sounds like hell.
Well, hey, you got to be prepared. That's interesting that's exactly what they were thinking of how it works. But yeah, who knows? I suppose it is a possibility of the many possibilities for all the stuff we talk about on this.
I mean, we don't know what the hell happens anyway.
No.
We just speculate and guess.
Exactly. Well, interesting conversation. That is a good dinner topic for someone's birthday. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's jump over to a letter. It says, many years ago, my parents bought a brand new home. Several months after we had moved in, my mom told me that one morning she was sleeping and she sees my younger brother walking into her room and walked into their bathroom. She said, morning, babe. You gonna say morning to me? Then she got up and went into the bathroom, and no one was there. She walked into his room to see that he's in his bed and wearing a white t-shirt rather than the green shirt she saw him in. She asked him if he was walking into her room earlier. Of course, he said he didn't go anywhere. Several months later, she was sitting on the stairs and admiring her big crystal chandelier. It was nighttime when the lights are on, and she was looking up. She says she saw this little girl flying across the chandelier. It was like flying back and forth, she says, and it blinked several times. And the being was still flying. She said she called out for us, but no one heard her. In our Cambodian culture, we believe that every house has a spirit that watches over the house, good or bad. We have to respect them. She told me that when it's a child spirit, it's usually a good spirit, but if it's a man, then it's bad. I think the house had a good child spirit and a bad spirit also. My siblings and I have had sleep paralysis. When I experienced it, my girlfriend was sleeping next to me. I tried to yell or wake her, but couldn't. Only thing I could do was look up. My window was open that night, so the room was illuminated by the moon, and this was happening. I saw a huge, giant, dark face in the ceiling, and it enveloped the whole room. My girlfriend woke up and found the room completely dark and started screaming, and I was finally able to move. During this whole time, it was odd because I wasn't scared at all. Ever since this incident, no one has experienced anything else. Think haunted house, haunted people? Thoughts?
I love that whole idea of every house has a spirit. Like you could have one that's just good and watching out for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would want the kid one, obviously.
Sure.
I don't want the man one, to be mean. But I love that whole concept.
It's like you get
it's so interesting to me how different cultures have these different beliefs like that.
And that it's just a across the board accepted belief. I think that's really interesting. It's not even like, well, do you believe in ghosts? It's just, yes, everyone believes, and here's what we have. You know, I think that's really interesting. And that's,
I love it.
Some of those places are the places that we get some of the most interesting ghost stories as well. And I think that might be because it's talked about more too. It's an easier conversation to have amongst family members. Whereas a lot of times just in, you know, American culture, I mean, it's getting better, but it's kind of a taboo subject for a lot of folks where it's like, well, if I talk about this with my family, they're going to think I'm crazy.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I think a lot of things do get held back. Thanks for sharing that one. All right, back to the stories in just a second. First, we got to thank our supporter today, Robinhood. Love these guys. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptoids, all commission-free. While other brokerages charge up to $10 for every trade, Robinhood doesn't charge any commission fees. So you can trade stocks and keep all of your profits. Plus, there's no account minimum deposit needed to get started, so you can start investing at any level. The simple, intuitive design of Robinhood makes investing easy for newcomers and experts alike. View easy-to-understand charts and market data and place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. You can also view stock collections, such as 100 most popular. With Robinhood, you can learn how to invest in the market as you build your portfolio, discover new stocks, track your favorite companies, and get custom notifications for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners of Real Ghost Stories Online a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help you build your portfolio. Sign up now. RealGhost.Robinhood.com. Sign up at RealGhost.Robinhood.com. That's RealGhost, RealGhost, .Robinhood.com. 855-853-4802, the number. Call into Real Ghost Stories Online. And of course, if you want our bonus episodes, brand new ones every week, we call them EPP episodes, extra podcast person episodes, filled with some of our best stories. You can get that at GhostPodcast.com. It's only $5 a month. You sign up there, and you can binge away at 240-some of those episodes. Next letter says, hi to some of my favorite people. This podcast has kept me from wanting to slam my head on my desk during horribly busy days at work. That being said, here's my story. My life has been full of the paranormal. My first experience being when I was 5, even though I don't consider myself as sensitive. I lived in a house in California. I'm sure you might have heard of the area from the campfire that our president visited the aftermath of. Anyway, my family and I were sitting in our living room watching, of course, the famous Conjuring, which I know Jenny hates the thought of. And I know it has also been mentioned as a portal movie for the paranormal. We were intensely watching when we all heard a loud bang coming from the garage. We all heard it and thought nothing of it because our dryer made banging sounds all the time when it was too full. After the credits started to roll, I stepped into the garage to investigate a little. I am the takes no shit, especially from ghost person in the family, and no one else wanted to check it out. What I found still creeps me out to this day. Lying on the floor in a million pieces was a plate. Now, while that may not sound creepy, the details are what gets me the most. No one in the family has ever seen this plate. The pattern was that of an old-time, maybe 1940s plate. Not sure, but it wasn't recognized by anyone of being ours. It looked as if it had to have been thrown from the ceiling. It was a heavy-duty looking plate and couldn't be easily broken by just accidentally dropping it. Not only could it not have fallen from anywhere, but it was also all over the garage. Like I said, in a million pieces. I know someone had previously passed away in my house, and I consider the thought of the Conjuring being a portal that maybe awoke the spirit. That being said, activity continued in the household for 3 years after that. Not sure if it was the movie, but it damn well seemed to be the cause of it. Love the show, guys. Thanks for reading. Do you think watching a movie of some sort that calls and talks about demons and things of that nature, sometimes calls them out by name, could be something that opens up something like this?
Well, you know, the one part of my brain is like, no. Mm-hmm. But the other part of my brain is I can't watch movies that do that.
Yeah. Why is that?
When they were talking about The Conjuring, I'm like, oh, I'm sure I saw that. And then when I looked it up, I don't think I ever have. And that's probably why.
It's a good one.
Well, now that I know that they conjure up demons, I ain't watching that.
Oh, you already got some stuff in your house. What is a few more? Doesn't hurt.
They're child ghosts.
Well, yeah. Well, get him some play pals from hell.
No, I don't know. I just think that some, like, I don't know. Ever since I was a kid and I read the book The Exorcist before I saw the movie, which was stupid. I lived in a haunted house. Mm-hmm. Like, I never, like, the whole thing was there's certain demons you can't say out loud. And like, I just couldn't talk about it or discuss it or anything because I was just convinced.
Sure.
So I don't know. In my brain, like my logical brain's like, of course not. It's just a movie. But in that weird other side of my brain that I have, I'm like, it could happen.
There are a lot.
Where'd the plate come from?
There's a lot of weird connections and coincidences. Not so much with The Conjuring that I'm aware of. I know like that's been brought up here and there. More so as a superstition on Jenny's part. than I think anything else. But a lot with The Exorcist. I just watched a documentary about that. In fact, a couple of them last week. And it was really, and I'd heard the stories before, but I just kind of wanted to hear them again. And there are some newer documentaries that have come out. And the production of it, not so much the folks that watched the movie. There, of course, was rumors of that when people were watching. But there are so many weird deaths and
things that happened.
Oh my gosh. That and also The Omen had a lot of weird things happen to it too, of deaths and accidents and just left and right stuff that went down. If you were ever looking for a really weird movies that have a weird connection to possible activity, those are some to look into. Very, very convincing as to something didn't want those movies being made. Interesting ones. I've never seen The Conjuring 2 yet. And that was one that looked super spooky. The first one was really good, done really well. It's about the Perrin family. And I've had Andrea Perrin on the show several times. She was portrayed as one of the children in the movie. And she's talked about it on the show many times about how accurate that movie actually was, the first one, to what her real life experience was growing up. And what happened when Ed and Lorraine Warren came out and investigated and got involved in their case. I just the other day, this is the first time I'm talking about this one on the air, just the other day had a chance to interview, and this will be on the other podcast, The Grave Talks. I get a chance to interview the grandson, Ed and Lorraine Warren's grandson, who now has taken up their world of ghost hunting, because Lorraine is officially retired now. Ed has passed away several years ago, but Lorraine's in her 90s. But he helps to take care of her, but he's now taken on the Warren Legacy Foundation, and he's a paranormal investigator in his own right. And we talk about everything from Amityville to The Conjuring to the stuff he's involved in today. And that's going to be in an upcoming episode of The Grave Talks. And if you're a gravekeeper over there, you'll get that several months in advance. That interview will be public in June, but gravekeepers will get it, I believe, early April-ish is when that one's going to be out there.
That's going to be a great episode.
It is. It was really interesting. Very, very interesting. A little bit of editing left before I can get that posted up for the gravekeepers, but it was lovely. That's all I can say. I've always wanted to talk to Lorraine, and now, I mean, she apparently, when we were doing the interview, he said she's about 10 feet away from me right now as he was talking with me. And I asked just kind of how she's doing. And he's like, she does a lot of sleeping these days. And I don't blame her. I mean, she's, you know, she's 90 something. But we talked about so many interesting things, and he went along with Ed on a lot of investigations. And it was very just, you know, compelling to hear some of the stuff firsthand and kind of talk about some things and angles of these stories that have never been talked about publicly. He did.
And he would have a different, he would have talked to them about them. So he has yet a different perspective.
Exactly. And he was actually involved in a lot of cases, like A Haunting in Connecticut, which that movie was based on. He was the lead investigator on that when it actually happened. So I'm going to have him on the show in the future. We've already scheduled our second interview because we had such a good conversation. But very interesting guy. My whole point of all that, not just to promote the other show, but was we talked about The Conjuring 2. He said the first one, he was a kid when this happened, but when Grandma and Grandpa came back, Ed and Lorraine came back, he also agreed, very accurate to what, you know, what happened, with some exceptions. But for the most part, pretty good. He said, however, the part two really completely blown out of proportion, and that's the one that focuses on the Enfield poltergeist. But that one, not so accurate to reality.
Because I find a lot of movies like that. Like, the scary one to me is the one that really seems believable.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other ones where it's just too far, it's too much, it's too gory or something.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel so ghostly.
Mm-hmm.
Those, I don't enjoy that. But something that just really scares me, I like those.
Try The Conjuring, the first one. It's not super gory. It feels like an older horror movie, and they produced it very much like that, where there's a lot of
psycho. And if I have some kind of weird plate end up busted,
hey,
we know.
Good times. You can write into the show then. I know a great one to write in and share your story to. They really appreciate that.
I know a guy.
We can talk about it like in third person. It'll be really weird and awkward, but we can still do it.
That's a really good idea.
It's a good one. I do recommend. Of all the horror movies I've seen in the last, I don't know, 20 years, that actually is one of my favorite. I thought it was very well done. Annabelle, I thought, was kind of shit, which is kind of the follow-up to it. The Conjuring 2, which I guess would be, I mean, it's all part of the universe of it. I haven't seen it in its entirety, so I don't know. But first one, very, very well worth seeing. And to get your house haunted, too. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Next letter says, hi, I'll get right to it. My husband and I moved into his childhood home before we moved into his sister-in-law. His sister-in-law showed us a photo taken with the old flip phones of a tall black figure. I just ignored it because we were having a baby in a month, and while pregnant, I used to sleep with the TV on. One night, I woke up to the TV that was all static and snow, and I look over to my walk-in closet, and a girl walked out with glowing eyes reaching for me. Naturally, I freaked out and woke my husband up, who was next to me, and when he woke up, it was all gone. The TV was back to normal. Fast forward, my child was 3, cleaning and heading upstairs, and suddenly I hear my daughter scream. I ran upstairs and she ran towards me shaking and looked scared to death. I held her for a few minutes until she stopped shaking. I asked what had happened and she said something was floating like a feather. Then things got worse over time. I'd have horrible nightmares. I'd woken up to a floating face on the side of my bed. The last straw was when my daughter would come running into my room, constantly stating that someone woke her, and she said, it wasn't mommy and it wasn't daddy. At this time, she was 5. I had enough of the piano playing when it was closed, noises, nightmares, and going after my daughter. I went to a shop to get sage and holy oil. Started saging the house. We have a roommate in our house renting a room, and I let her know what I was doing. The sage didn't stay lit downstairs. I headed upstairs and it smoked more and more. I went into the roommate's room and it was so smoky. I started to put it around her and she attacked me. It was very odd of her. I asked her about it later and she said she didn't remember me coming into her room. Ever since then, we haven't had any issues since. This is one of those letters where I so wish there was more to them, because I want to know, of course, what the hell happened with the roommate that attacked you? Did that end well? Did she get her security deposit back after attacking you?
So many questions.
Exercising her room? Oh, but I'm glad the stuff went away. But still, that would be kind of an awkward moment when you pass in the hall going to the latrine. Like, remember the other night when I was doing the exorcism around your room and it really started smoking up crazy because I think maybe you're doing some weird shit in here? Yeah, that was kind of awkward. Okay, well, hey, stay out of the frosted flakes because those are for the kids. And you just kind of move on.
Because I don't want to get attacked.
Yeah, that's just awkward.
But, yeah, because it seems like it was like, and then I burned the sage and went in her room. She attacked me. And then that was that.
I'm thinking there's something with the roommate. Like the roommate was up to something.
I mean, it kind of seems that way.
And that's why you don't bring devil-worshipping roommates into your home. I remember singing that in school when I was a kid. We used to do like...
Yeah, I was just thinking that should be done as a public service announcement.
It's like the wheels in the bus go round and round. And they're like, and now kids, today we're going to do a new one called Don't Bring Devil-Worshipping Roommates into Your Home. And I was all like, you know, we did parts. It was like rounds, you know, don't bring devil-worshipping roommates the right side of the classroom. And then don't bring... And then everybody kind of joins in like later on into this really neat, melodic. It's great. It's a good one.
Then it's like second verse.
Yeah.
The devil-worshipping roommate could attack you,
The devil-worshipping roommate. Yeah. And then you kind of...
You'd have to sage and burn it in your house.
It was great. It was one of my favorites that we did.
But it does... Because it kind of sounds like after the sage thing and the attack, then everything was fine, or was it?
After she brought the sage into the home.
I was hoping Keith Morrison would show up right then.
Realized that the roommate may be up to something. There were some signs that things may be amiss, including a chicken head laying in front of her door. Blood splattered all around the door frame. And pentagrams on her window. Was she just having a little satanic party, getting ready to watch another episode of A Haunting? Or was she conjuring demons while eating Kentucky Fried Chicken?
Or was she just butchering her own chickens?
Maybe she liked fried chicken. Maybe she liked Satan. Either or, you don't know the answer.
I know. We need more information.
So, leave us hanging.
No, when you write the letters, give us more information.
Maybe you like fried chicken. Maybe she likes Satan. We'll never know the answer to this unsolved mystery. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in to Real Ghost Stories Online. It says, hi, I'm from Finland, found your podcast on Stitcher, and thought I'd tell you guys one of my scarier experiences with, well, something I'm not really sure of. Anyway, I have a few less scary ones. Let me know if you want me to tell you them, too. Hope this makes it into the podcast. Sorry, back when I was about 7 or 8 years old, my cousins and I hung out together a lot. My cousin, Jarmon, used to love telling us scary stories. He told me about a house that was near their farm. In this house, there used to live a single mother with her daughter. The daughter was troubled, and there were rumors that she was a devil worshiper. They died in a mysterious circumstance. Nobody knows what really happened. But the story goes that ever since they died, the walls of the house have been hollow, and it's haunted by something bizarre, noises, and all that jazz. Of course, I thought that the story is completely untrue and said as much. My cousin, of course, answered with telling me, he's going to show me. The next weekend, I was at the farm, and Jarmon and I decided we'd go to the haunted house, being dumb kids that we were. At this point, I have to say I've always been very sensitive and an empath. The trip to the house took about a half hour, and the whole way there, I had a weird feeling. Close to the house, I wondered about why I do not hear any bird noises or anything that's usually present in the forest. Jarmon found an open window low enough for us to climb in. The second I got inside the house, I felt the air shift. I felt tense and somehow dark. Jarmon knocked on the wall in the room we entered into. They did sound very hollow, which was super weird for the kind of house it was in the age. We started exploring the house, and Jarmon pointed out all the different things like crosses that were turned upside down and weird pictures on the wall. I should mention the house was basically untouched after the deaths for some reason. Suddenly, I felt this cold feeling and turned into the hallway, in a room towards a door that was the only door in the house that was closed. Jarmon said it was the daughter's room. It had a poster of a metal band on the door. At this point, I felt really uncomfortable, but I used to really want to impress Jarmon because he was older and cool. So I asked if we could go see it. He opened the door, and as I stepped in, I felt like someone else was there with us. I started to have a hard time breathing and fell to my knees. I suddenly saw a girl sitting on the bed writing on a black notebook. She looked like she heard something and got up. I somehow followed her out and saw a hooded figure standing. It looked like an older woman, staring straight at the girl. She was screaming and crying. The hooded figure then turned to look straight into my eyes and say, "Get out." Tremont was shaking. I'd apparently fallen down or something while this had happened and I'd cut myself. I stood up and basically dragged him out of the house. After that, I've never been back to the house. It's the last place I'd ever go. I never did tell Jermon what I saw, and we agreed never to talk about being there to our family, because we didn't want to get in trouble. I'll never know what that exactly was, and don't want to, but that wasn't the last time I saw a similar figure. It was almost like the Dementors in the movie Harry Potter. Sorry, this was a long time ago, and my memory is a bit gone thanks to painkillers, so it's a little sloppy, and my English sucks. So, there you go. Interesting story where he's seeing it. The friend is not, but because of his empathic abilities and his sensitivity, he was able to pick up on this stuff in this house. Thoughts?
Well, it was just was once again, it was kind of a weird ending. Oh, yeah, and I'm on painkillers, so...
Well, it doesn't sound like it. Well, he was on painkillers back then. It sounds more like he was just trying to recount what happened all these years later.
Although his English was really good, at least.
Well,
wait, you read it.
I had to do a little bit of on the fly translating, but I think it turned out okay.
But like, I get why you would never talk about something like that again.
Yeah.
It's like, it kind of to me, like, if you talk about it, then it makes it really real. Mm-hmm. And if you don't share the story, it's still real to you. I don't know. But something about seeing something like that, yeah. Especially if it made you fall down. It was that overwhelming.
And for a moment, almost like blacking out and not remembering, like, oh my God, yeah. I fell. How did I fall? Yeah. When you're someone who's that sensitive and can see those things, what if you're just a really sensitive person and can see that things, but those things, but also have a really crazy imagination too? You know, it's like sometimes like, is this just my imagination or is this something I'm sensing and picking up on? I'd imagine you could tell the difference.
Well, I think certain people with mental illnesses probably can't.
Sure.
With some people,
yeah.
But because I think he said in that he's had those experiences since then. Did he say that at the beginning of the letter?
Like, I believe so, yes.
Yeah. So it kind of makes you like, what other things have happened? Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity.
Sure. And it's one of those things where, you know, there's obviously you can have these experiences, and I don't get mental illness out of this one at all, but there's certain folks that, you know, certainly that exists, and then you know, it's hallucinations. But when you have that sensitivity, you could easily, you know, that would be, I don't know. Does it ever become normal, I guess, is my question for someone with that, when you're always picking up on these things, even though they're traumatic and scary and dark? And at some point, though, does that just kind of become the normal because you're always picking up on those things?
And I just wouldn't want it to be normal.
No.
It'd be like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to know about it. No. But if you can, you can't exactly stop it either.
No. Some people do say they've learned to turn it off. And I don't know how they do that. But obviously, some ways, some people find a way to do that. I don't know if it's just...
get that, because there's been a lot of times I'm like, I don't, leave me alone. I get in a weird, and I go to a place where I have this really overwhelming feeling that there's something there, and I'm like, leave me alone. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be bothered, just leave me alone.
Is that truly turning it off though, or is that just choosing not to engage in it?
I think I look at it as choosing not to engage. Like, yeah. I don't want anything.
Because in my mind, if you say you're turning it off, you wouldn't even be feeling those, like, just like that initial sense that there's something there where you have to say, leave me alone. That to me would be turning it off, is not even getting there. But choosing not to engage would be, I can sense this, but I'm not going to let this, you know, envelop my interest or anything at that moment.
Yeah, because like, I don't even get the people, like real paranormal investigators, mm-hmm. that go into really creepy places.
Sure.
With no lighting. And I'm like, how? Like, I can't even sort of imagine doing that.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Just relying on the night vision.
And they, especially like the ones on TV, they all act so cool, like, oh, no big deal. I'm like, wouldn't you be scared shitless? Or like, what does scare those people if that doesn't?
I don't know. I mean, at some point, I don't know. I mean, there's obviously a lot of production that goes into a lot of those shows where the producers are like, say you saw this here, you know, and they just kind of got to go with it. But at some point, you do enough of that, those things, you're going to have some legitimate experiences that are like, holy shit, that was weird.
Well, like the guy we were just talking about, he's a paranormal investigator. Like, it's either incredibly brave or incredibly crazy or somewhere in between to be able to do that and put yourself out like that.
Yeah. And there's, you know, every investigator has different levels of what they'll, I guess, tolerate, for lack of a better term, or get themselves involved in. You know, I've talked to many where it's like, no, there's nothing that's going to make me not go there, no matter what it is, no matter how dark and demonic it could possibly be. I want to try and experience it so I can document it and take this further, or there's just, you know, this crazy thrill thing going on with them. All the way to, you know, I have a line that I don't cross, and when I start getting inklings of this or that, I'm out because I don't want to get it attached to me. Yeah. And I think you know, I'll respect whatever anybody wants to do. It's their own prerogative. I would just say, if it were me out there, I'd have to have a line. There's just certain things you don't want attached to you. I've heard too many stories. I've heard too many just bizarre, horrible shit. And it's like, yeah, no, I don't need that stuff around me, my family. My house is not haunted. I'm good with that. It's like, I don't need to have it start being haunted because of, you know, my hobby or whatever. So, yeah. Good times.
Agreed.
Good times. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's go to another letter. It says, about 8 years ago, my previous neighbor sold his house. The house was demolished, and brand new luxury condominiums were built in the existing land. The new owner had listed the apartments for sale or rent. Since I was the closest neighbor to the current owner, asked me if I could turn the alarm system on before dark and turn it off in the morning that the clients could see all the newly built units. So every morning, I turn the alarm off. Every time I would enter apartment 5, I'd feel as if I was being watched. The design of the entire complex was very strange. It looked like something during the time of the Mayan period. There were two buildings on the lot. Unit 5 and 6 were in the back. The alarm for both units was located at the front entrance of Unit 5. As soon as you opened the door to enter, the alarm was on the left-hand side of the wall. So every time I'd either turn it on to activate it, turn it off, which this was an uneasy feeling I would have. So one night, a girlfriend of mine came with me to activate the alarm. It was fall. It was late October. We're getting ready for a Halloween party. So I showed her around. We go upstairs to the top floor when we hear two loud bangs coming from one of the rooms on the top floor. We both heard it. She was freaked out and grabbed me under my arm, and I escorted her downstairs. We left the lights on that night because I was not going back up by myself. A few months later, another friend of mine wanted to see the complex, so I took her to see. Go upstairs, then downstairs. It was about 11 p.m. She looks at me and says, "There's nothing here. You're just tripping out." As we were ready to leave, she says to me, "Turn the lights off and let's ask questions." So I turned the lights off. My friend was standing on the first flight of stairs that head to the second level, and she asked, "Is there something here? Can you make a noise?" Then within 2 seconds of her asking, there was a ball of light as bright as a bolt of lightning. It shot from one end of the ceiling right above us to the other, and in a flash. I thought it was her phone reflecting from the ceiling, but her phone was inside her purse. So I freaked out. She asked, "Did you see that light?" I'm like, "I thought that was your phone." So to make this long story short, I have no idea what was causing it. I think at one point the land was an Indian burial ground. I think all the construction woke up a sleeping spirit. Every time I'd go to the garage, it would be about 50 degrees, even if it's about 95 to 100 outside. I live in Pasadena, California, so summer gets very hot here. Most garages are steaming hot underground. This garage is about 25 feet underground, and there's no air conditioning to keep it cool. Yet, it's still that temperature. Yeah, you think something was woken up by what was dug up on that property?
Well, I mean, what else would it be?
I don't know. haunted forest trees that are used in the construction.
Well, because I mean, why? To me, like, if there's a spirit and it's attached to that space,
yeah.
Like, say the original building goes away, you tear it down. That doesn't mean the haunting goes away. Where does that go?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, great, now I got a new place.
You got to wonder what was on that land before, if anything, or if it was just a big old, you know, plot of nothingness as far as what anybody knew. But there's, you know, our country is dotted with grounds like that, of burial grounds. And
this country has, like, a lot of creepy people in it who murder people and bury them, and you never know.
That's true.
It could be like that, too.
You got to wonder, like, also, who's in the concrete? You know, who was hired to do that concrete job? That's another thing where you hear stories of, you know, there's a great way to hide a body into a parking structure.
We've all seen that on Dateline NBC.
Exactly. And if Stone Phillips says it's true, it is fucking true.
What happened to Stone Phillips? Is he still around?
You know, he got fired, or he quit or something. I think he was let go or laid off from NBC almost, like, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago now. Yeah, he's not on there anymore. And now I don't know who does Dateline anymore. Is it just, and it's all like kind of pre-produced segments now, from what I gather. I don't really watch it much. But it used to be more of like, you know, they would be, I'm Jane Pauley and Stone Phillips.
Yeah.
And they'd kind of do almost the 2020 thing where I'm Barbara Walters and Hugh Downs.
I think they're doing it like Lester Holt was doing it for a while.
Yeah, it's just more uber pre-produced things. And that's fine. I think that's what people want to watch today. They don't need, you know, 2 people sitting at an anchor desk, you know, delivering the evening news in that sort of a fashion. But I do kind of miss
the Discovery ID or ID Discovery. They've changed the whole landscape for shows like that.
Yeah. And then it's funny. Now you can see, like, I'm always amazed by when I'm flipping around to channels. It's like 2020 on Lifetime. I'm like, what do you mean 2020 on Life? Like, is this reruns or what is this? And it's I don't know what it is. But 2020 just used to mean it was the end of TGIF on a Friday night. And then there was Barbara Walters and Hugh Downs. And every once in a while, what's his name with the mustache would go and bust used car dealers. What's his name?
Geraldo Rivera.
No, not Geraldo.
He was on one of those.
You're right, but it was the other guy. I think he went over to Fox News. But he was an interesting anchor. He would always be, well, you know, I went to the used car dealer and I said, why are you putting dead bodies in the trunk? I think that might be a little against city code. You know, I think he'd walk in and, you know, it'd be weird shit like that.
That voice is really funny.
Because it'd be kind of like this accusatory, whiny little bitch type, like, you know?
Yeah, I'm friendly, but...
Someone once questioned, is that really a mustache or is that just pubic hair that you've super glued to above your lip? I said, let's find out. And I French kissed the person who asked me. They never asked me that question again. So,
I don't know who that person is, but I like it.
It was Hugh Downs.
Sort of way. Hugh Downs, yes.
And that was his last episode of 2020. What was his name? 2020 investigative.
Oh, wait. I think.
I'm trying to remember what
Chris Wallace. No.
No.
In 60 Minutes.
Because it's been so long now. It's going to bug me into, like, 2020 mustache. And you know what? First thing that comes up, John Stossel. That's who it was, John Stossel.
That's who it was. Yep. Right.
He still got the mustache. And he's still rock. Oh, my God. John Stossel is 72 years old now. I had no idea.
He is not.
He is. According to Wikipedia, he's 72.
Oh,
he also is a warlock, according to Wikipedia. But, you know, Wikipedia can be inaccurate sometimes. That's what he's doing. I don't know if he's in on anything anymore or not, but there you go. Learn something new every day. All right. That's going to wrap up the program for today. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Sign up over at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month. Get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes of this program as we make them. You get them weeks in advance. And free e-copy of the book. Access to send us your stories, a fast pass. Get the front of the line to get your stories on the air faster. Lots of benefits. Lots of perks. Ghostpodcast.com. Check it out. Until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.